الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما كان الله ليعذبهم وأنت فيهم وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. Respected Honorable Ulama, beloved elders, brothers and friends, undoubtedly we are living, if not in difficult times, but in uncertain times. Insofar as our safety and security is concerned, the political environment with local elections being a few days away, and whatever has happened in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard each and every one of us, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala more especially safeguard our iman, the iman of our progeny, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala safeguard the property of one and all. It has always been the system of our ulama of the past that when difficulties had approached, challenges had come through, uncertainty had prevailed, whether it was on a community basis or whether it was individually, they would turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all earnest. Dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, making dua, making istighfar. And then we also find that many of them had resorted to praising our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in times of difficulties, times of need. The best praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would undoubtedly be salawat and durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But together with that we found, for example, Allama Abu Sayri rahmatullah alayhi, when he suffered a stroke, then he wrote what we know as Qasida Burda. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through that, the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was accepted by Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him cure. When we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great alim Abu Bakr al-Tahir has stated that when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find, Zayyanallahu Rasulahu Muhammadan بِزِينَةِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had adorned, Allah ta'ala beautified Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the beautification of rahmah. We look at all the other qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the far uncomprehendable intelligence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at all the qualities, we will boil it down to the overwhelming quality that Allah had bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that of rahmah. A person by the name of Nadr bin Harith, in certain narrations it was Abu Jahl, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had begun this mission of Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to invite, then especially Nadr bin Harith, besides being an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah had afforded him a great amount of wealth. He was a business person. And he would go to the Levant, ancient Syria, Mulk-e-Sham, And over there, he would mix with scholars of the Torah and the Injil. And he would hear whatever he heard from those kitabs. And when he would come to Makkah Mukarrama, he would hear from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same theme. There was no difference. But then again, arrogance sometimes becomes far exceeding, stubbornness, the will not to want to change. And because of his hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to the Baytullah, the Kaaba, and he places his chest against the Kaaba, that chest that contained a heart that was filled with kufr and nifaq and hypocrisy. And he began to say to Allah Ta'ala, إِن كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْتِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That if this message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the revelation that Allah has sent down to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this deen of Islam, the Quran Sharif, if all of this is true, that a person does not accept Iman and Islam, then that person will be doomed. Then فَأَمْتِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. O Allah, cause the floodgates of the skies to open and let the rains of stones come down. Can a human being be more audacious and daring to Allah Ta'ala? Sometimes we think about it in our lives, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's no example for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that we have a disobedient son and a father warns and another warning. And the son says to the father, you can come with your belt, you can come with your stick, you can come with your rifle. It doesn't matter to me. What goes through the heart of that father? Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being addressed, send the rains of stones, أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Or even if you do not wish to send the rains of stones, then send the painful punishment that is being spoken about. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them whilst you, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is in their midst. Now that is one aspect of the rahmah and the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama al-Qadi Ayyad rahmatullah alayhi has stated that wa anta fihim, whilst you are in their midst, whilst he was on this earth, and even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he left us a mubarak life of the sunnah. And so long as sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being practiced, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, Allah ta'ala's mercy will still come down upon a community that practices upon the mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib between the ages of 6 to 8. At that time, there was no Quran to confirm the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, there was no hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about him being a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Abdul Muttalib had recognized in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam something that unaccomplishable tasks were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that tender age, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accomplish, he would fulfill. A person once was making tawaf of Baytullah, and Abdul Muttalib is also making tawaf of Baytullah, and this person found it very strange that whilst others were beseeching and doing what they were doing, Abdul Muttalib was engaged in some stanzas of poetry, رد إلي راكبي محمدا يا ربي رده إلي واستني عندي يدا, which means that, O Allah, this rider of mine, the driver of mine, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, return him to me, help me, O Allah, by returning him to me. This person found it very strange that nobody normally beseeches Allah, who is this Muhammad, what is all this about? When the person had completed his tawaf, then he inquired from somebody, and the person said that this is Abdul Muttalib, the leader of the Quraysh. He has this young grandson of his. And whenever he finds something that is a task that is not accomplishable, then he would task this young boy, and that task will be then fulfilled and accomplished. On this particular occasion, he had lost some of his camels, and he had tasked the young boy to go out and look for these camels, and he has not yet returned. As he is being explained, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes holding the reins of these camels into the haram. And Abdul Muttalib embraces him and says to him that, my grandson, I could not bear the separation with you for these moments that you were not here. Qasam of Allah, I will never separate from you anymore. Now that was that quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Abu Bakr al-Tahir says, وَكَانَ كَوْنُهُ rahma. The very being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was rahma. وَشِمَالُهُ وَصِفَاتُهُ rahma. The way of life, the qualities, the character, the trait, the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was rahma upon rahma. When we try to analyze and we try to understand that how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had purified Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how Allah ta'ala refined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we will find, for example, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu speaking about the fragrance that would emanate from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he would say that was far greater than the smell and the fragrance of musk. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lying down, he was resting at the house of Umm Sulaym, the mother of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got up, he found that she had an empty bottle, and that bottle she was collecting the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now can we try to understand that when we look at the perspiration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the light of other ahadith, Sahaba used to say that when wahi would come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would burst into a perspiration, and what was that perspiration like? It would look like pearls. That is how it took the formation of pearls. And now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Umm Sulaym, what are you doing? One should also remember that according to the muhaddithin, Umm Sulaym was one of the milk aunts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there was no issue of parda and hijab and all of that. So she said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we find that your perspiration has such a unique fragrance that when we put it together with other fragrance, other itar, it outshines and outdoes every other fragrance. Now this is that Nabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from a physical aspect. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given me a ride on the back of his camel, and I had the opportunity of seeing the seal of Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I kissed it. And when I touched it, when I kissed it, I found that a smell, a fragrance emanated that I had never smelled before in my life. Now, so pure, so pure was the physical being of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What could one say then about the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Jafar ibn Muhammad, that was known as Jafar Sadiq, he was the great grandson's son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that he had come from that lineage. His mother, Umme Farwa, she was the granddaughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whoever says that there's discourse between the family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the family of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they are living evidences that there was love and muhabbat, there was intermarriages between them. So he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desired for this ummah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to have a very lofty rank of ibadat. And there was only one being that could come down and fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of Allah's rahmah and Allah's mercy upon him. And then Allah ta'ala had left him as an example for the entire ummah to emulate. So brothers and friends, when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we look at every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had sent him as an embodiment of rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him as an embodiment of drawing the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As an ummah, if Abdul Muttalib, in the absence of any wahi, in the absence of Quran, of hadith, understood that tasks will be accomplished through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you and I as an ummah, after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed Quran to us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being that lifestyle, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that he is for you the best of examples, then it will only be logical for us to try and emulate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other aspect that is also very integral is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim, that the Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than they are to themselves. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam comes to a particular place, and then he begins to beseech Allah. He makes dua to Allah, a lengthy dua. And then thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls prostrate, he goes into sajda. And then a lengthy sajda. And then the second time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up. And again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engages in dua. And again for the second time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into sajda. And then again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands for the third time. And again he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again he goes back into sajda. When he had completed this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who were around him, that I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the shafa'at of my ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the first dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said 1/3. Then I made dua again, and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded another 2/3. And then the third time I made dua, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded with 1/3. In other words, now you will make shafa'at and intercede on behalf of your entire ummah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that all the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, they were mustajabud da'wat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily accepted the du'as. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted immediately. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted after a while. قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam made dua. Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wassalam said ameen to the dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response was immediate. That Allah has responded to your dua. The dua of emancipation from the clutches of Firaun. However, ulama have written that it was up to a period of 40 years before the Bani Israel were emancipated at the hands of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. So their du'as are accepted. Then above, over and above that, there is one du'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that is even more readily accepted. What we sometimes talk about extended warranty, a guarantee upon a guarantee. One is the guarantee of a Nabi's du'a, and then on top of that, that du'a is even more guaranteed, that one du'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all the anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam utilize the option of that one du'a in this world. Now notwithstanding the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had undergone, he says that I postponed, I delayed the option of making that one du'a for the in the akhirat, and that is shafa'at for my ummah. He could have utilized that for anything else. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about you and I as an ummah. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى When Allah ta'ala revealed the verses of Surah Wad-Duha after wahi had stopped for a while, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was concerned about what would happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى Allah ta'ala has not forsaken you. Allah ta'ala has not left you. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى And your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you. And what Allah will grant and how much, Allah ta'ala does not describe. But what Allah ta'ala says that whatever will be granted, فَتَرْضَى You will be pleased with whatever Allah had granted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, إِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى وَوَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ I will never be pleased so long as one of my ummati will be in the fire of Jahannam. Brothers and friends, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just a glimpse of it, just scratching the surface, that he had this concern for the ummat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's concern was our success, and hence from our side we should look at ourselves as being ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make Allah ta'ala our maqsood, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our goal, and bring about the sunnah and the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. By doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ward away, Allah ta'ala will remove whatever difficulties there may be, whatever uncertainties there may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all of that. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ So long as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on this earth, he was a shield against the azab of Allah. And when the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is practiced, then again that becomes a shield. Allah's rahmah will begin to descend upon our communities, upon us as individuals. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will begin to change halat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin to change conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, in every respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Grant all those that left our midst, the highest of Jannatul Firdaus, those who are ill and sick, may Allah Ta'ala grant them complete shifa, kamil, ajil, mustamir. Wherever the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering, may Allah Ta'ala remove the sufferings from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever has whatever challenges, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us respite from all of that. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.